When you need legal representation, having the right team to represent you is crucial. Since 1958, Norman Deller has helped thousands of clients with their legal matters in Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Whether your case is personal injury, estate planning, probate, employment or business law, civil litigation, real estate, or family law, the attorneys at Norman Deller offer years of expertise and knowledge. If you find yourself in need of legal representation, call Norman Deller at 654-0911 or visit normandeller.com. The Law Office of Norman Deller, providing legal excellence you can trust since 1958.
Hi, Jim Duran here, Executive Director of Cypress Place Senior Living in Ventura. Do you have a loved one or a family member with Alzheimer's or dementia? Are you struggling to care for them? If so, we invite you to come by and visit our beautiful assisted living community with a special memory care area for residents with Alzheimer's and dementia. We have spacious apartments that can be rented on a month-to-month basis, either privately or shared, and include 24-hour supervision by our specially trained caregivers. Amenities include 3 gourmet meals daily. We also have housekeeping, laundry, linen service, utilities, transportation, and a full schedule of daily activities that build esteem and nurture the mind, body, and soul. Please come by to see how your family member or loved one can live the life they deserve and how you, once again, can regain your own peace of mind. To schedule an appointment today, please call 650-8000 or you can visit us on our website at cypressplaceseniorliving.com.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Gray Matters, brought to you by Cypress Place and the law offices of Norman Dowler. And now your hosts, Sherry Kerman and Jim Duran.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's Sherry here.
And Jim Duran.
Woo!
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Incredible.
Good. Here we go. One more phenomenal week.
Exciting.
I love it. Yep. We've got a great lineup this week. We're speaking to people from all over. We got some in the studio, some calling. Our first guest actually is our furthest guest. I think she gets the prize for being the furthest guest ever because she's from another country. I am thrilled to introduce Pearl Gladman. How are you, Pearl?
I'm good, Sherry. And you?
I'm very well. Thank you. Thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure.
Pearl, you work for B'nai B'rith Canada.
Correct.
Which is really a phenomenal organization. Tell us just a little bit about it.
Well, B'nai B'rith Canada, the organization is a little bit different than the organization in the United States. In Canada, in addition to all the social service work that we do, the community volunteer service work, the affordable housing that we do, the various programs, we're very political up here as well. So we interact with all levels of government we have a League for Human Rights, which is similar to your Anti-Defamation League in the United States.
Sure.
So that's the nature of the work that we do up here.
But
so it's very diversified and varied. We have a sports league that has about 2,000 men across Canada that play in organized hockey, baseball, basketball, and soccer leagues, mainly in Toronto, Winnipeg, and Montreal. So it's a different organization in Canada than it is in the United States.
So what's the difference, if you could just give us a little bit of a difference?
Well, I think in the United States they do a lot of social service work. So they've got the affordable housing. In the United States they do a lot of community volunteer service work. Their political work isn't as much as it is up here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's because we don't have the Anti-Defamation League in Canada, we do the work that the ADL would do in the United States.
Well, speaking of senior housing, how does senior housing affect the seniors living in your community?
Well, we're in Toronto, which we call the GTA, which is the Greater Toronto Area. Affordable housing at the present time, it's not enough because there's 65,000 families on the waiting list.
And you're not just talking about seniors right now. You're
talking
in general.
Everyone.
So in the Greater Toronto Area, you've got 65,000 people
waiting on a waiting list.
So not even people, families.
Families, correct.
Families waiting for some kind of housing assistance.
Right. That's right.
And you must be dealing with the same issues we're dealing down here, which is, we're becoming an older population. So what percentage of that do you think are elders right now, our seniors?
I think a lot of it is. I know we have We have three buildings in Toronto, and our waiting list for those three buildings is probably close to 2,000 people that are on the list.
That's amazing. Because, Pearl, you work, we've talked a little bit about what B'nai B'rith Canada does in general, but you are working specifically with the seniors and the housing issues, right?
Right.
And you've started this affordable housing program for seniors?
Yeah, the program was started about 30 years ago. One of our lodges built a home. And then about 25 years ago, we built one right across the road. And then about 18 years ago, we built another one. And we're presently constructing in partnership with a developer. It's not called subsidized housing. It's called affordable housing now. So the rent won't be as low as they would be for subsidized housing.
Okay.
But they'll be lower than the going rate.
Can you describe what they look like, what it's like, what it is? Can you describe to us?
Our buildings, they look, if you walked into our buildings, you'd think you would be walking into a condo. Maybe not a brand new condo, but a condo that would be 20 years old.
Mm.
We have a library, we have a social hall, we have all sorts of amenities in the building. It's beautifully decorated. It doesn't look like a subsidized building at all.
And you're taking older buildings and refitting them, isn't
no,
that? No. You're building new buildings.
These are existing buildings.
They are.
These are buildings that were built from scratch.
Okay.
That we built from scratch.
Okay.
When there was a program with the government to build housing. There hasn't been a program like this for many years. They're trying all sorts of other initiatives to help seniors and families that need assistance with housing.
Well, and now you've got your newest venture, which is the Alzheimer's residence.
Right.
And so that's also a new building.
Right.
Okay.
But that's a totally different facility because that's only for people that are suffering from Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to tell you what the statistics are.
Mm-hmm.
We're an aging population.
Mm-hmm.
We're living well into our 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter if you're healthy. If you live that long, the chances are that you will get Alzheimer's because that's just the luck of the draw.
Right, right. I always say medicine is great at keeping our lungs breathing and our hearts pumping, but it hasn't quite
caught up with
keeping the brain yet. We're still figuring out so much.
That's the next thing that they have to work on.
So,
right.
So do you actually have housing for Alzheimer's right now?
No, we're just in the present of building it. It should be built by August of September.
Now, question for you in regards to them living there, with Alzheimer's residents living there. Here in California, we have Title 22 regulations that we fall under that there's all kinds of guidelines on how to take care of them. Are you going to be providing care for them, or is it families with Alzheimer's?
No, we're going to be providing care, but in Ontario, I don't know the rest of Canada, but in Ontario, pretty well anybody can open up a facility, whether it's a long-term care facility or an Alzheimer's facility. If they don't want to be connected with the government, they don't need to be. And we've chosen to go to do it privately because we want to provide a certain level of care that would be more than the government buildings provide.
Okay, so when you're saying you're not part of the government, so that also means no government assistance is
exactly.
What you're saying.
Exactly.
You're saying, you know what, we'll just fund this ourselves.
Exactly. 100%.
And that way we can provide the highest level of care that we...
100%.
Okay.
So for clarification, there is no guidelines that you guys fall under in Canada in regards to how you're supposed to...
Not really. You would fall under almost a tenant-landlord relationship. But being that it's being built by B'nai B'rith Canada, we have our reputation to maintain. So we have a manager of the facility who manages about 10, 15 other facilities within the Ontario, Southern Ontario region. So he knows how to deal with Alzheimer's, and it'll be a state-of-the-art facility having the newest things because they're always finding out different ways of building and different ways of decorating for individuals that are suffering from dementia. Other forms of the disease.
So you're regulated only by the tenant occupant?
That's all.
Wow.
Interesting. It's real different, isn't it?
You can hook up with an organization that will come out and make sure that everything is going okay, but it's not a necessity.
So let me ask you a question then. In your feeling, do you... see this the absence of the legislation and the regulation? Do you see a lot of places that, gosh, you wish there were some kind of regulation?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So you've just got this wide variety.
Yeah, but just like our subsidized housing buildings are so much better than the ones that we call Toronto housing, which are owned by the government, theirs look almost like slums, right?
Mm.
And
mm-hmm.
because ours is the B'nai B'rith one, we provide things for the residents living in there. We provide programming, we provide trips, we bring in speakers.
Right. So in your particular situation, because B'nai B'rith is such a phenomenal organization, the lack of regulation, it sounds like it's helpful to you.
That's right, exactly.
But the flip side of it is people need to really be aware up there
100%
of where they're going. I mean, it's true buyer beware.
It's very true, because every so often you'll find an expert saying one of our major newspapers, national newspapers, that someone has done on a facility that someone is running, and they're getting money from, you know, they're running it on their own.
Right.
And it's really being run. The people aren't being fed properly. They're not being looked after, and it's an awful, awful situation. We just had that a few months ago. So there really has to be some guidelines set for individuals who want to go into this type of care.
See, what's going to eventually happen is the government's going to get involved at some point to regulate in some way, shape, or form. But the great news is that when you're way ahead of the ball game like that, you have nothing to worry about. You're already falling
right.
into it. It's
correct.
Great.
Right.
It's awesome.
Let it bring it on, right?
Yeah.
Bring on
exactly.
the regulation.
I'm just wondering if Norman Dowler might want to relocate to Canada.
No.
There's going to be some stuff happening up there.
It's very cold up in Canada in the winter, and it's very warm and muggy up in Canada in the summer. I think
Pearl, it's not bad, is it?
What was it
you know
that
what?
Pearl said before we went on air? I'm sorry.
I'm going to tell you something. Every time I hear about the horrible tornadoes that just swept through, you know, through the states, through the coast there, and those overdoses to poor people who were killed because of it, I say we don't have those elements. We don't have hurricanes.
No.
We don't have tornadoes. If we do, they're nothing as compared to what you have there. So,
well, we don't have any hurricanes or tornadoes where we are.
We got a little shake and bake, and that's about it.
We have 6 months of winter and 6 months of fixing roads weather. That's
you don't have 6 months of winter. You've got 9 months of winter. You can't fool me. I've spent summers up there.
It's not great, but you know what? It's a great place to live. It's a great country, and I'll keep it.
There you go. Let me ask you another question. Have you seen a dramatic change in seniors that are entering your residences in the years that you've been involved with B'nai B'rith?
Absolutely, because we have seniors that entered when they were 65, and now they're in their 90s, and they're still living independently.
Mm-hmm. So you mean seniors who have been there since age 65, so
the
they've been there for
open.
25
yeah.
years.
I still have people that have been living there since the building has opened, and I mean, we had a gentleman who just died a few months ago. He was 97, 98. We had a woman, her name happened to be Rose Cherry, and I always just say to her, when I grow up, I want to look like you. Mm-hmm. She was 95, and she was unbelievable. So I think living on your own and interacting with people in the building and participating in things that are happening makes for a very high quality of life. I always say there's no support given to the building, but if you happen to be an individual who goes down to the library every day at 2 o'clock
right.
and sits with a group of people and you don't show up one day, well, you can rest assured that they're going to go out. They're going to ask the super to knock on your door and make sure you're okay.
Right. Sure.
You didn't show up. So it's that type of caring. I think that enables people who are in good health have a high quality of life.
Hey, Pearl, just a quick question for you. Have the needs and expectations of seniors changed over the past number of years?
Yeah, I think they have. I think they need to be. They need to be kept busy to what they want, not mm-hmm. to what we think they should want.
Mm, great
because
point.
We also run a drop-in center in our national headquarters that runs 5 days a week. It runs from 11:30 to 1:30,
mm-hmm.
and we provide the seniors with lunch, a free lunch, and programming. So 2 days a week we'll have exercise. prize one day a week. They'll play bingo.
Those are people living in your facility or any seniors?
No, anybody in the area who just wants to drop in.
It's great. I have to say, I tease my Canadian relatives. So everybody out there, Pearl's my cousin. So there we go. I got it out. I tease my Canadian relatives all the time about living up in the Great White North and all of this and all of the things. But I have to tell you, Canada, they have really tremendous social programs, and I know it's very expensive, but this one is not a government one run.
No, this one was actually, we went out and found a funder for it.
Right.
An individual who is a philanthropist in the city who gives a lot of money, and he'll just drop in without letting us know that he's coming in to see the program, and whenever
right.
he leaves, he says, of all the money I give, I get the most satisfaction out of this.
But that's
because he's hands-on. We'll get anywhere from 40 to 60 people
right.
every day.
And that's a personality trait of Canadians that I'm not sure everybody here has to the extent that they have up there, of taking care of each other, of this philanthropy and giving back.
It's
phenomenal.
Yeah, we take care of our community. We do look after each other.
Yep.
We do. And I think that makes for, in your senior years, I think that gives your life a totally different
absolutely
standard of living.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Like I said, you know, if you don't show up at 2 o'clock and you're always there,
someone's
going
to go knock
on
your door.
It's happened that someone has suffered a heart attack.
Yeah,
because the person knocked on the door, they were saved.
Hey,
so
Pearl,
it's precarious.
Thank you. We're out of time. We got to stop for a quick break and then go on to our next guest. But thank you so
Perfect.
Much for
Be
calling
well.
In
nice
and being part
you.
Of this. Have a great weekend. Keep up the good work up there. I hope it gets a little warmer.
I hope it does, too. Regards to everyone.
All right. Love you.
Care.
Goodbye,
Bye-bye.
Pearl.
Bye.
Great having you, Pearl.
All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to be back with Karen Block Davis, who is from a group called A Conflict Resolved. And so we'll see you in just a minute.
Another summer day.
Hi, Jim Duran here, Executive Director of Cypress Place Senior Living in Ventura. Do you have a loved one or a family member with Alzheimer's or dementia? Are you struggling to care for them? If so, we invite you to come by and visit our beautiful assisted living community with a special memory care area for residents with Alzheimer's and dementia. We have spacious apartments that can be rented on a month-to-month basis, either privately or shared, and include 24-hour supervision by our specially trained caregivers. Amenities include 3 gourmet meals daily. We also have housekeeping, laundry, linen service, utilities, transportation, and a full schedule of daily activities that build esteem and nurture the mind, body, and soul. Please come by to see how your family member or loved one can live the life they deserve and how you, once again, can regain your own peace of mind. To schedule an appointment today, please call 650-8000 or you can visit us on our website at cypressplaceseniorliving.com.
Live Home is dedicated to finding solutions that not only maintain, but also enhance quality of life for seniors. We provide home care with a professionally led touch. Live Home has served this community for more than 10 years, and we would love to help you with any senior care or resource need. Call us directly at 687-8766 or visit livehome.com. That's www.livehome.com. And live long, live well, live home.
When you're considering a reverse mortgage, at Wells Fargo, we're with you. If you're a homeowner at least 62 years of age, a reverse mortgage may help you convert your home equity to tax-free loan proceeds. Contact a reverse mortgage consultant today. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Consult a tax advisor. Wells Fargo Home Mortgage, a division of Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., is an equal housing lender. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
For more information and to find out how a reverse mortgage could benefit you, call 866-398-5638. That's 866-398-5638.
If you've ever thought about going to law school, consider the Santa Barbara and Ventura Colleges of Law. For over 40 years, the Colleges of Law have helped more than 1,700 men and women of all ages and backgrounds earn a law degree. You don't need to move out of the area or pay high tuition to get a quality legal education. alumni of the colleges of law, are judges and practicing attorneys, and enjoy other prestigious careers. You can earn a law degree by attending the Colleges of Law's accredited evening law degree program. With campuses in Santa Barbara and Ventura, learn the law from our faculty, distinguished judges, and attorneys who work with the law every day. Want to become a lawyer? Attend the Santa Barbara and Ventura Colleges of Law. Applications now being accepted for fall 2011 semester. For more information on the Next Information program, visit them on the web at collegesoflaw.org. That's collegesoflaw.org.
Hi, this is Sherry Kerman of Norman Dowler, the law firm you can trust to get it right, proudly representing the people of Ventura County honestly, ethically, and with great integrity for over 50 years. Norman Dowler is among the preeminent law firms in Ventura County and has a team of dedicated professionals who consistently exceed the expectations of our clients. Legal matters are no laughing matter. When you're faced with a legal crisis, you want the best representation. Norman Dowler, 654-0911 or visit normandowler.com.
Welcome back, everyone.
Hello. It's so great to be back.
It is great to be back. That was really interesting, wasn't it?
Man, I tell you, I am thinking away right now in regards to how that's all set up over there.
Yep. You're thinking about how Cypress Place makes a presence at Cypress Place Canada.
Yeah, exactly. You know what's amazing is as we're talking here, you hit it right on the head. If people can self-regulate themselves, if they could self-regulate, we wouldn't have a need for all these government things that come in and mandate us to do things.
Yeah, we were talking about that a little bit at the break, and that's an issue. And hats off to Canada if they're able to regulate themselves better up there, that they that they're not having such horrible things happen. Thank goodness for places like B'nai B'rith, who are so. What a great organization. They really do. They've been around since 1875.
Wow.
Was when they first were in Canada. It's pretty incredible.
Well, you know, I think like this. I know Spence thinks like this. I know you think like this. When you're doing something, you give it your best. You do the best you can. You go above and beyond.
Well, and you know, do the right thing.
You do the right
thing. I mean, that's always so important, right? You do the right thing. It's not that's what you have to do. You have to be able to look at yourself at the end of the day in the mirror and say, that was what needed to happen.
Right.
That's what I needed to do.
Right.
And that's what I did. And it all works out the way it's supposed
exactly.
to.
Exactly. Can I tell you something else that needs to happen?
Yes.
We need to have a fundraiser for the Canine Foundation.
You know, we do. But wait a minute. Isn't there one already happening?
There is one happening on Saturday, May the 7th. At Cypress Place Senior Living in Ventura.
And what's the name of this particular fundraiser?
It's the Cinco de Mayo celebration on the
Siete de Mayo.
And it's actually for the National Police Dog Foundation. They're the ones who purchase and train all the police dogs. I mean, we're looking at in an excess of $20,000 just to get these dogs purchased and trained. And all of these dogs are actually going to stay in Ventura. And which is really awesome. And you'll get to meet them on that Saturday. You'll meet Amigo, which is one of the dogs. And Eris is another dog. And Ferraro is another dog. And
I love it.
Yeah.
That's
so
great.
They'll all be there. And there's going to be a canine presentation, which will blow your mind. They're going to chase people. I won't be one of the ones they're chasing.
Hopefully not.
But they will be chasing. But I think what's really great, it's only $10. It's a suggested donation of $10. And you get this incredible Mexican buffet from homemade tamales, and we've already talked about it. We had a meeting today. We're going to make 1,000 homemade tamales.
Oh, my Lord.
We're going to
that's a lot of tamales.
It's a lot of tamales. We're going to have homemade tortillas. They're going to be making tortillas right in front of you.
Wow.
We're going to have homemade carne asada tacos, pork tacos, chicken tacos. We're going to have, and you'll see Victor right there on the grill making all the meat as
and
we do
it. And to wet our whistle?
To wet your whistle, you're going to have beer and margaritas, Mexican beer
it.
And margaritas.
I love it. So May 7th from 11 to 2 at Cypress Place Senior Living. You know, Jim, you guys always have such great events. Obviously, a lot of them focus on seniors, which makes sense. And you do great. I've been to some great classes and conferences there and heard some great speakers there. But then, you know, ones like this, too, that are helping get more of these canines out on our force is just going to help make all of us safer. And
absolutely.
What a great thing that you do all of that. See, there's an example of simply doing the right thing.
Mm.
And it's great. I'm going to plan to be there. My daughter and I think.
Oh, that'll be it'll be so much fun.
Yeah, we'll try to round up some of our friends and neighbors
and
as well.
And I can tell you, it's a $10 suggested donation, but for kids 12 and under, it's only $5.
All right.
Yeah, so that it's a great deal. Oh, and just to let you know, we're going to have a jalapeno eating contest. We're going to have live mariachis and incredible Mexican dancers. They're going to be authentic Mexican dancers coming to dance.
I love it. That's great. We'll be there. Don't forget. We are now being joined by our next guest, Karen Block Davis. Thanks for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
It's a beautiful day out there today, is it not?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. It's great. Karen, you are the one of the founders of a company called A Conflict Resolved.
That's correct.
Tell us a little bit about this.
Well, my partner, Luann Davis, and myself came to a conclusion one day that we wanted to be mediators. And so we both took the training through an organization here in Ventura County, and we opened up A Conflict Resolved.
And what's your background before mediation?
I've been an attorney for about 25 years.
Here locally?
Well, I started off here locally in the Ventura County District Attorney's Office for about 10 years, moved up to Northern California and was a public defender for about 4 years.
And it's a great story. I heard the story of how that happened. It's a subject of another spot, but it's great.
Kind of at the right place at the right time, I think.
Absolutely the right place at the right time.
Or maybe meant to be.
Yes.
But then I took some time off, and I have a family. And so my daughter's at an age now where I think it's appropriate for me to start going back into the workforce. And Luann and I started A Conflict Resolved.
And Luann's background is real estate.
She's been a mortgage broker for many years. Prior to that, she owned optometry offices. So this is probably her third career.
Yeah. And we're going to get Luann on the show too, Jim. Luann is a spectacular person, just to talk about her life experience.
She's amazing.
She's really an amazing woman. So let's get back to Conflict Resolve. So what are some special issues that arise with seniors, with elderly people?
You know, I think one of the biggest issues for seniors is not wanting to be a burden to their families as they get older. And so they want to make sure that all of their issues are taken care of so that there's no question. You know, they don't want to be a burden to their children and their grandchildren. So where we think that we can help with seniors is let's get things in writing, let's get things down, not necessarily a will. Mm-hmm. If you've got two kids who've had a sibling rivalry forever, mm-hmm. it's not going to end once you pass.
It gets worse.
Yeah,
right?
I have to take it. Yeah. But you do need a will.
Well, of course you need a will.
You never leave it up to just them figuring it out, and you don't just tell them either. That never works.
Right.
Because once you're gone, and you know this, once the parent's gone, there's nobody to keep the kids in line, and I call it the bigger bike syndrome. You know, immediately when I have kids coming in my office who are not happy with each other, who, at least perception-wise, got the bigger bike.
Well, just out of curiosity, you know, now that we've established wills are important, where would one call to get a will?
Well, I can certainly help you with all of that.
At Norman Dowler.
Absolutely.
Sherry Kerman. Perfect.
Absolutely.
And I wasn't suggesting that there shouldn't be a will. I'm saying that even when there is a will, there can be issues and fighting. And our idea is to sit down with the siblings and the parents, the elderly parents, beforehand and explain, this is why I'm doing this, this is why I'm doing that, and let's resolve those issues. Okay, you did get the bigger bike, but remember you had the bigger bedroom. And, you know, you get beyond what they're nitpicking about and try to get it resolved so that later on there won't be an issue and a fight over that will.
Over that will, right. And the other thing that I think that that you can do is help resolve the conflicts that they're dealing with now. And the other part of it I see is when
Absolutely.
There's a parent still living and one child either because geographically they're closer or emotionally they're closer or something ends up being sort of a primary
Yes.
overseer and caretaker to make sure things are going on. And then oftentimes what you get is the other child getting very upset there you can get conflict, either that they feel like they've been pushed out or they start quarterback, what is it called,
armchair? Monday morning
quarterbacking, the one who's right there in the thick of it. And I think that's probably a really good place where mediation can step in and say, all right, let's work this all out. We're all here for the same reason.
Well, plus the one that's doing all the caretaking might have built up some resentment as well because they've got all that burden. They're taking the parents to all those doctor's appointments and taking care of all their business. And then this other person comes in who hasn't been around, who might live out of state and can't be there, and then says, well, maybe you should do it like this, or maybe you should do it like that. And the first one's going, well, maybe you should keep your mouth shut.
because
I'm the one here that's doing it every single day.
I'm living, breathing,
okay,
eating, sleeping.
As our listeners are out there and they're thinking, okay, when should I call a mediator? When should I call you? Or when is it time to call an attorney?
Okay. I think that mediation, I define mediation as what you want to do when there are parties involved that you still want to maintain a relationship with.
Mm.
Okay? So the person you're going to still be involved with, a family member,
yes,
a neighbor, whatever.
You know, that's so
great.
True, because I've had situations in litigation where we've been told to go to mediation, and I think these people they're not related. They don't ever have to sit down at the Thanksgiving table together. So what do they, nothing, but when it's a family, you would rather not destroy that family that.
Exactly. So when is the right time? When you're sitting down and you're starting to talk about it and you're seeing that we might not have agreement, or if you know in advance that you've got that black sheep in the family who's going to come in and try to scoop up everything, go and talk to a mediator, go and talk to a lawyer, make sure things are clear so that you don't have all that drama and all those issues later.
Now let's say I have a brother or sister and we're not agreeing.
Mm-hmm.
But one of us says, I don't want anything to do with a mediator. Then what? So there's two of us that say, we need to sit down and have a mediator, but then we have one that says, I don't want anything to do with anybody else. I'm not going.
I ain't coming.
Well, then you might not get a cut either later on down the line.
Okay.
You know, this is how it's two against one. I actually had that issue in my family.
Oh.
There were three siblings, and I was kind of responsible for my father, and my brother and sister wanted him put in a home, and he didn't want to go. And so we had issues. And it wasn't pretty.
It wasn't pretty. So I wonder if in a situation like that, Karen, if Jim and the sibling who were involved and interested in a mediation could come to you and maybe at least work out, they could at least talk about what this other sibling's issues were, maybe get pointers, get some lessons on how they might approach this other sibling, with either to get them to the table, mm-hmm. or even if they're not getting them to the table, at least how to work with them.
Right.
Sure. It, you know, when you're doing mediation, you're a little bit of a counselor at the same mm-hmm. time, because what we find usually is the reason that people claim to be upset on paper or at the outset or when they make that, you know, statement right off the bat, it's usually not really what they're upset about.
Right.
And you have to dig a little bit.
Right.
So what I try to do is encourage people, look, come. The door's going to be open. You can walk out anytime you want. If you're not comfortable, you can leave.
Mm-hmm.
But come on, you know, give a little.
Right.
And that's what we try to get people to do.
Let's try it. Mm-hmm.
Can you share of a story of a time where you had somebody come in and they were just like, I mean, they hated each other, kind of, and they were, like, really struggling, and then all of a sudden, you did your stuff, and they walked out of
there. You mean I sprinkled my twinkle dust, and everything magically became good?
Can I have some of that? How much do you charge for some of that twinkle dust?
I'd like
some right now.
We have had situations where people walk in, and they're absolutely adamant about their position, and they're on polar opposites.
Mm-hmm.
And what we try to do is baby steps toward the middle. I define compromise as neither side walks away gloating, feeling like they got it all, but neither side walks away feeling totally like they got beaten up and didn't get anything. A good compromise means both sides walked away with something.
Mm-hmm. With something,
and so that's what we try to do with them. We try to put people at ease. make them feel comfortable.
So win-win. It's a win-win for everybody.
Exactly.
And, you know, and an empowerment, too, because one of the things I always explain to people when they come in, if they want to go into and start litigating, is, first of all, the expense. It's insanely expensive.
For litigation.
For litigation. Mm-hmm. To litigation is ridiculous. And it's the monetary expense, and it's the emotional expense, and because it takes a long time and you don't have closure. And you don't know what's going to happen, because you never, you could have the best case, but you don't ever know for sure what the judge is going to do.
Right.
And the judge is making a decision and imposing the judge's decision on the parties. And when you can mediate, no, you may not get everything you want, but you were part of the process and you were part of that decision.
Actually, what happens is you have retained control over the situation, mm-hmm. because you are formulating the decision with the other side.
Mm.
So it's not taken out of your hands. You don't feel that loss of control.
Right.
You
right.
don't feel that somebody else is deciding for you.
Right.
You retain that.
And like you said, you can walk out of the door when you start that litigation.
You're done.
You're done. Stuck. Now, if you're the one who starts it, you can always stop it, but then it's just gone. But if somebody files a petition against you, you can't stop it. You have to keep going. So you can't walk out that door. So the mediation is a great way to avoid all of that.
You retain control, you retain a relationship with somebody, you resolve an issue, and everyone walks away happy. That's how I view mediation.
Absolutely.
And when you have families that come in, groups that come in, Is there a certain amount of meetings that you have before resolution happens? I know each case is different, but how often do you have to meet with these people?
You know what? Usually we can resolve an issue the first time we get together.
Wow, that's awesome.
You know, it might take a couple hours.
Sure.
But generally, this is not something where you're going to keep coming back and coming back and coming back.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to sit down. We're going to work it out. We're going to write it down on paper. Everyone's going to sign off, and we should be okay. If you need something a little later, you get home and you realize, well, we forgot this or we forgot that. Okay, we can get back together again. But it's not the same long, drawn-out process like litigation, where this has to be filed by a certain date and then that has to be filed by a certain date. And, you know, the judge is telling you where
to be. It's much more informal.
Yeah, much more informal.
Now, you're talking, too, about complete voluntary mediation. It's a little different when the court orders you to mediation. At that point, there's paperwork that everybody, I guess you don't have to submit the brief, but you're silly if you don't, because that's your opportunity to give all the background information. And in mediation that comes out of litigation, one of the mediator's jobs is to tell both sides, independently, not in front of each other, but separate from each other, each side what their problems are with their case.
Mm.
Because sometimes the parties think that,
right.
I have no problems, I'm going to win. And part of the mediator's job is to say, well, you're going to have a little problem here, and you're going to have a, you know.
Right.
Which is where my law background is kind of helpful.
Absolutely.
Because I can say to them, you know, if mm-hmm. we were to go to court, the judge is going to be kind of beholden to follow this rule and this law here.
Mm-hmm.
But in mediation, you don't necessarily have to follow the laws as they are strictly applied. You can come up with your own resolution together. So there's much more openness and more.
Right.
You can bend more.
Right.
Whereas, you know, that is something that I'll use in a mediation. Gee, you know, if we went to court, the judge would have to rule for the other side
on this particular aspect, so you need to understand, right? And then you, so you're meeting with them together, and then you're meeting with them separately, so that people can really voice what their problems or issues are.
Right. We'll talk to them together. We'll see how things flow. Then we'll ask one to step out, and we'll talk with the other, and then we'll switch it and talk with the other one. And oftentimes they're closer to mm-hmm. resolution than they actually realize
they
but
are. Right.
You, as the third party who's hearing it neutrally from both, you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. You can see the forest for the trees, for another metaphor there.
Right.
But you can really actually see where they need to end up and get them there.
You also said, we've talked about before that you can use mediation to help resolve issues with care facilities as well. So it's not just family to family.
Oh, no, not at all.
So if somebody is a resident in a facility and they've got some issues and they're not resolving it, you can step in with an administrator from the facility? Is
Absolutely.
That what you're doing?
Yes, we can do that. We can act almost like an ombudsman to try to bring the two sides together and, you know, let the facility understand where the resident is coming from and why there might be an issue, and then also help the resident to understand the parameters that the facility has to work under. There's a lot of different laws that govern.
And we were just talking about that on the segment before. In Canada, apparently there aren't. But here, there are a lot of regulations.
Absolutely.
And so their facility's hands may be tied in certain situations.
Can you believe that? There's no regulations in regards to senior care or Alzheimer's care.
Facilities.
Anyone can open up and just run it.
That's kind of scary.
Yeah, but unless you're
well,
doing the right thing.
It can be, and we talked a little bit about that, but if you're doing the right thing, it's freeing because you can do what you know is right and, you know.
Well, you know that when people move into Cypress Place, one of the things that we have them do is the arbitration agreement. And we ask them, to sign it. We obviously can't make them sign it, but we want to go to mediation. If there's an issue.
Let me clarify something for you real quickly.
Arbitration versus mediation.
Yes. and it's a confusing thing for a lot of people.
It's a great question, isn't it?
Yes.
Good job. Arbitration is similar to mediation in the sense that you're not in a courtroom setting, but with arbitration, it's usually a retired judge or an attorney with a great deal of experience in that area, and they will make a decision for you.
Yeah.
You will go to both sides have an opportunity to present their issues and their case, but as opposed to mediation, where the two parties are making the resolution together and deciding, not the mediator. The mediator is a neutral who helps them to get to the middle or where they need to be. In arbitration, you will have an arbitrator making a ruling, and that ruling, if it's binding arbitration, means that everyone has to live with it.
So
it's a type of litigation.
So they need to see you before they go there.
It would be a good idea.
Yes, because
so how come we don't have your information at Cypress Place? And those things are we could put in our packets.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because
we'll take care of that today, Jim.
Okay.
And Karen, why don't you tell us how people can get a hold of you real fast before we have to stop for our break, and we'll post it on our graymattersradio.com site as well.
Okay. Well, the phone number is 805-388-0220. You can find us on the World Wide Web at A Conflict Resolved. LLC.com.
A Conflict Resolved LLC?
Yes.
Okay.
.com.
Okay.
And we're located in Camarillo. Mm-hmm. Conveniently located.
Conveniently.
In Camarillo.
That's great. So this is a really super opportunity because it is less expensive. It's less stressful. Everybody walks away.
It's faster.
Which is part of all the expense, right? And everybody can walk away feeling like they were part of this decision. Mm-hmm. Nothing was imposed on them.
It's a win-win.
It is a win-win. And we will get this information up on our website at graymattersradio.com as well. Karen, thank you so much for coming in today. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Thank you
so much. Information. All right, quick break, and we will be back with Jessica from Live Home, one of our great sponsors. See you in a minute.
Hi, Jim Duran here, Executive Director of Cypress Place Senior Living in Ventura.
Do you have a loved one or a family member with Alzheimer's or dementia? Are you struggling to care for them? If so, we invite you to come by and visit our beautiful assisted living community with a special memory care area for residents with Alzheimer's and dementia. We have spacious apartments that can be rented on a month-to-month basis, either privately or shared, and include 24-hour supervision by our specially trained caregivers. Amenities include 3 gourmet meals daily. We also have housekeeping, laundry, linen service, utilities, transportation, and a full schedule of daily activities that build esteem and nurture the mind, body, and soul. Please come by to see how your family member or loved one can live the life they deserve and how you, once again, can regain your own peace of mind. To schedule an appointment today, please call 650-8000 or you can visit us on our website at cypressplaceseniorliving.com.
Hello, I'm Kevin Talsma with Arnold Financial Services. How are you prepared to handle the economic challenges that lie ahead? How long can our country continue to spend more than it's bringing in? Many economists are predicting a future of rapid inflation, higher taxes, and a weakening U.S. dollar. We have tools and strategies for addressing these concerns and can provide you independent, unbiased financial advice. Give us a call to obtain a financial evaluation at no cost or obligation. Our number is 805-384-9212. That's 384-9212. Ask for Kevin.
Stephen Arnold and Kevin Talsma are registered representatives offering securities and advisory services through Independent Financial Group, LLC, a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor. Member FINRA and SIPC.
When you're considering a reverse mortgage, at Wells Fargo, we're with you. If you're a homeowner at least 62 years of age, a reverse mortgage may help you convert your home equity to tax-free loan proceeds. Contact a reverse mortgage consultant today. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Consult a tax advisor. Wells Fargo Home Mortgage, a division of Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., is an equal housing lender. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
For more information and to find out how a reverse mortgage could benefit you, call 866-398-5638. That's 866-398-5638.
When you need legal representation, having the right team to represent you is crucial. Since 1958, Norman Dowler has helped thousands of clients with their legal matters in Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Whether your case is personal injury, estate planning, probate, employment or business law, civil litigation, real estate, or family law, the attorneys at Norman Dowler offer years of expertise and knowledge. If you find yourself in need of legal representation, call Norman Dowler at 654-0911 or visit normandowler.com. The Law Office of Norman Dowler, providing legal excellence you can trust since 1958.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Sherry Kerman again with Gray Matters. Wow, that was really interesting stuff.
That was really awesome. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was great. Karen is spectacular, and her partner, Luann. These are two fabulous ladies, really amazing, amazing ladies. And then they do a good job and have such great experience, the two of them, with the real estate, because there's a lot of, you know, negotiations going back and forth when you're in real estate. And Luann's had lots of different businesses. And Karen, with her phenomenal legal background, it's just great.
Well, check the CypressPlaceSeniorLiving.com website, because we'll be doing some workshops with them in the very near future.
I think that's great. I think that's a super idea. We are pleased now to welcome Jessica Solomon from Live Home. How are you doing, Jessica?
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you. Having a good day?
Yeah.
Good. That's good. We always like that answer. Of course, if you said no, I'd say, oh, well, too bad. So Jessica is an elder care consultant with Live Home, who at the moment is one of our sponsors. So first of all, we want to thank you, Jessica and Live Home, for sponsoring our great show. And Jessica, you've been with Live Home now since 2004. Is that correct?
Yeah. I just hit my 7th year anniversary at Live Home.
7 years?
7 years.
Congratulations.
That's great.
Yes. And it's not the 7 year itch.
No. You're happy you're staying.
I'm happy. We're still growing. I started 7 years ago. There's 4 locations. We have over 20.
Wow.
And now we're expanding into the franchise market. So it's really exciting.
Interesting.
How long has Live Home been around?
We're going on our 14th year.
14th year. And, you know, Live Home has a great reputation. Can you share with us what makes Live Home different than the other companies in that we call them your competitors?
Yeah, I'd love to. Actually, I've never thought that I've had any competition. I still don't. Because our model is so unique and different from every company that's in the industry. And there are a lot of good companies out there. But what it comes down to and what people are going to be realizing as the need grows and how they're trying to figure out one company from the other is what the model is. And it's nice to have a model and it's nice to have a mission statement, but it's also are you executing what you're saying that you're doing. And we've always been a leader as being a professionally led company. And what that means is that the model that we have in place is a care management model. So we have a, this is not a typical supervisor. This is somebody with a certain level of education, a certain skill set.
You mean the case manager?
It's a care manager.
A care manager.
Professional geriatric care manager.
And so tell us what this person does. For our listeners out there who may not even be familiar with some of these terms, what a care manager is and what kind of services Live Home is providing.
Sure. We're a senior care company. We provide senior care resources and solutions. A lot of people look at home care companies as with the custodial component that provides caregivers that help people with their activities of daily living.
Mm-hmm.
That could be cooking, cleaning, bathing, dressing, things that we need to do to stay independent or in our own home.
Mm-hmm.
Having a care manager involved is having somebody that's consistently could be initially assessing and evaluating a situation or a home situation, creating a care plan for that individual and family.
And when you're creating a care plan, it may or may not involve ongoing participation of Live Home. Is that right? Can it be walking in and helping even the family create their own care plan?
Sure. I mean, a lot of times we're stabilizing a situation or a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is ongoing care, some families don't really require the care management component. But we still, on our in-house, we're still consistently making sure that the service is compliant with what the goals were and that our caregivers, and this is the most important part, that they're consistently being supervised. That's the main difference.
The caregivers are being supervised.
Exactly.
By the care manager.
Yes.
And how does that happen typically? How are they being supervised?
Well, we can do pop-in visits, but the care managers are consistently meeting with the family's clients, meeting with the caregivers when they're in the home.
Mm-hmm.
We have communication logs and journals that stay in the home. We have in-house meetings here with our staff and department and our management department, care managers. Our company has grown so much that it gives us the opportunity to do use technology advances such as telephonic scheduling system. A lot of our caregivers will punch in and punch out on a phone line. It could be a cell phone. It could be a landline. We know where it's coming from.
That they've arrived someplace, saying?
Okay. We know if somebody's 1 minute late. We get
okay.
Alert.
So, you mentioned something almost in passing about that they often call you in crisis. And, I see that a lot in my law practice, too. Nobody wants to come and see me until there's a big problem. And oftentimes, not all the time, but oftentimes you may not be able to fix it. It may be too late. My guess is you're seeing the same thing. When is the best time for someone to call your company?
The best time is any time. I mean, it's always a good time to educate, and it's always a good idea to be proactive. It's not typical. I mean, that's just the way it's always going to be. It's going to be typically crisis-driven. People don't necessarily call for these services unless they need them. However, some people are more, and typically the people that are doing those estate plans
mm-hmm.
that they are preparing and those financial plans, those are the type of people that say, I need to have something. I need to be educated at least, and I need to know what my options are if the time should come.
Because my guess is, Jim, that you maybe don't see the crisis as much.
Actually, we do.
Do you?
We do, because what happens is all of a sudden the family comes home for Thanksgiving. They live out of state. They come home. They have Thanksgiving dinner. They go, oh, my gosh, what's happened to Mom and Dad? And now, hey, we got to be back in 2 weeks. We need to get her in somewhere.
So the assisted living and the memory care.
That's where we
But
see
the
it.
Independent living isn't going to be
no.
crisis. Okay.
No, it never is.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I would disagree with that only because, we get plenty of those at the independent living. I mean, I guess you're talking about a senior living community.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. I mean, obviously, you're going to be dealing with the crisis independent living because you are working with people who are staying in their home, and that's an important distinction to understand because there's so many different ways of doing it depending upon your needs and your desires that you can move into a senior type community, but you may want to stay in your home, and this is Live Home is a company that can help you do that because it can provide some services that maybe allow you then to stay in your home.
It allows you to stay in your home. It allows you to remain independent. So we do have plenty of clients that are in independent living sections in senior communities.
Correct. But what we were talking about is I don't have crisis mode for them having to move into independent living.
Because
if they're moving from independent to independent, there is no crisis.
There's no crisis,
but
right.
There may be a crisis when they're living in independent that they would need you. Absolutely.
Right.
Like somebody falls and breaks their hip, they need rehab, they need maybe some
that's a crisis,
in-home care.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Jessica, speaking of needing you, if somebody needs you, how can they reach you?
Well, we have a toll-free number. I'd love to share my cell phone number if anybody's listening. I usually get phone calls direct because we're all available.
What do you mean if somebody's listening? Everybody's listening.
Everybody's listening. Well, somebody that wants information, my cell is 805-708-4142. The main number is 805-687-8766.
Okay.
And there's somebody available 24/7, always live person.
And your website?
www.livehome.com, and it's spelled LIVHOME.
Great. And well, first of all, you're a sponsor at the moment, and so your information is on our website, but we'll also have this information up on graymattersradio.com so people can go to there and get information and contact information from all of our guests today. So, Jessica, we are out of time, but I want to thank you so much again for being a great part of our show these last few months and everything your company has done. And thank you for coming and talking with us today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Jessica.
And that's it. Here he is. Another hour is done.
So quickly.
Woohoo. So remember, gray matters because aging is not black and white. Here on KVTA every Saturday at noon, podcasts available at graymatters.com. Have a great weekend and we'll see you next week.
Talk to you next week.
When I get older, losing my head, many years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine. If I'd been out.